There is one type of question we seem to get a lot here at Leadership Vision as it relates to the top five themes of Strength Report. It's something like this. Is there such a thing as strengths balance? Or maybe something around the idea of, are my strengths good enough? Whatever that means. I think this comes in part from an idea that with the right balance of maybe different kinds of themes of strength, we can optimally, I don't know, accomplish a lot more, be happier, get that promotion. Some version of success will magically befall us and all our hopes and dreams will be achieved. I don't know. This idea may also come from using the four domains of strength. Now, we've written and podcasted before about the four domains of strength, which really is just a way of helping to organize the 34 themes into some helpful categories that will help you think more broadly about how the themes function. But I think in some ways, those four domains have had some unintended consequences that aren't all good. Specifically, this idea of balance when it comes to an individual's representation among those four domains. People worry about things like, what do I do if I don't have strengths in this one particular domain, or maybe this other domain, or is it bad if all or the majority of my strengths are in just one or two of those four domains? Or sometimes we'll even hear, I don't have any of the good, quote-unquote, leadership strengths, whatever that means. Or even sometimes people think that maybe they aren't good enough or qualified or in some way unfit for their role, again, however that's defined for them, because maybe they're lacking a specific theme of strength that they think would be better in a certain quote-unquote leadership role. Well, the short answer to is there such a thing as strengths balance is no. It's not bad to have all of your strengths in one domain. And obviously, certain strengths are not better than others or come in handier in different leadership roles. It's about how you use them, which is kind of what I want to shift the conversation to a bit here today. Hello, everyone. My name is Nathan Freeberg, and you are listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, where we share our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, click the link in the show notes or visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. So as we talk about this idea of strengths balance or good strengths and bad strengths, I want you to consider this. Every spring, Gallup releases their Global Themes Frequency Report, listing all 34 strengths from the most common to the least common. Now, these results come from the 20-plus million people who have taken Clifton Strengths since 1998. I think that number's up to like 24 million, but I'm not totally sure on that. So the 2019 report, which is the year that we have the most recent data, at least at the time of this recording, it doesn't really reveal anything new in terms of frequency from the past several reports I've read. Just looking at the data from the United States, once again, the theme of achiever has remained the most commonly occurring theme, showing up about a third of the time in people's top five strengths. Now, there could be lots of explanations for this. Remember, this is just the data from the United States. So, I don't know, maybe it has to do with our cultural focus on getting stuff done, or maybe, as we know, people with the theme of achiever like to get a lot done. So assessments like this one are just, you know, another one of those things that they can cross off their proverbial list. Responsibility is number two on the list. And again, those folks, as we know, they have a great ability to also get a lot done. But the why as to why these two strengths are at the top of the reports, that's probably a topic for another podcast, but it's important because it'll help make my point here about balance in just a moment. And conversely, at the bottom of the list, or the least frequent themes, are self-assurance, command, and significance. Again, those have all kind of hovered around the bottom from the last several reports I've seen. They show up like less than 5% of an individual's top five strengths, so they're kind of rare. And these themes, it's interesting here, these themes are all in the influencing domain. In fact, the first of the eight strengths that you find in the influencing domain doesn't show up on this frequency report until like number 15 out of 34, and that's communication. Woo, which seems like it's a lot more frequent than it is, actually sits at number 24 out of 34. So my point is simply that, as a whole, if you look at the themes of strength that are supposedly supposed to help us influence others, well, those are pretty rare, at least among those who've participated in this assessment in the United States. So now I'll ask you this. Does that mean that if you don't have any influencing strengths, you don't have the ability to influence people? Is that reserved solely for the folks with these themes? Well, no, of course not. That's ridiculous. But let's come back to that in a minute. At Leadership Vision, we believe that it doesn't matter if you don't have strengths in all four domains. We believe there's no such thing as strengths balance or having the right set of strengths for a given job or leadership role or position. Instead, we believe that the following three beliefs are most important when it comes to using strengths results. Number one, we believe you should focus on the generative side of strengths, not the degenerative side. Number two, we believe a descriptive versus prescriptive approach is best. And number three, we believe that themes of strength work in pairs. So let's unpack these three statements a bit. First of all, we want to focus on what's right about you, generative versus degenerative. We're using strengths as one tool to see what makes you unique. We want to begin by focusing on the positive, focusing on the strengths that you as an individual have versus the strengths you don't have. See, we live in a deficit-minded society where we're constantly trying to fix what's wrong with us. For years, I thought my theme of ideation was, I don't know, some sort of form of ADD or ADHD or something that I was constantly trying to refocus and help, you know, look in a straight line and keep things very sequential, but that's just not how my mind works. Until I realized that I was unique that way, that this was perhaps a strength of mine, a gift of mine, boy, it really helped things out a lot. And early on in the strengths movement, and I think still somewhat today, people would focus on the dark side of strengths, or what we call the degenerative side of strengths. Instead of asking how to overcome a perceived deficit, meaning like you're lacking a specific strength, or let's say you're lacking certain themes of strength in like, oh, I don't know, the influencing domain, we want to help people concentrate on leveraging the themes of strength that they do have from the domains where those exist. So for example, after spending time with someone, we might uncover that a person with mostly relating themes, they're actually using those themes to influence others. Or conversely, someone with mostly influencing themes is using those to relate to others in ways that are life-giving to everyone involved. And what's really fun and interesting and makes for great storytelling is sometimes you'll meet someone who is just the most personable person. They've just got the room wrapped around their fingers, they're so involved, and then you look at their themes of strength and they might not have any relating themes. And through conversation and, you know, getting to know them, you realize, oh, they're using these strategic thinking, influencing, whatever it is, to relate to people. And that's how they have found out how to make those work. But it's really hard to figure any of this out without sitting down, as I said, and having a conversation with individuals and understanding more of their story, which brings me to our second belief. Our second belief is that we take a descriptive versus a prescriptive approach to strengths. We emphasize the need to know someone's complete narrative to understand how their talents play together, hence our emphasis on the one-to-one conversation. There's a 1 in 33 million chance that you have the same top strengths as someone else. Each of your top 5 strengths is also broken up into 14 talents. How those 70 talents interact and play together makes you infinitely unique in your approach to influencing others, relating to people, getting work done, and making decisions. A descriptive approach in using strengths is used to simply describe a behavior, not prescribe actions that you should take or decisions you should make. When we sit down and look at your themes report, we see that you perhaps like to engage the world in a certain way. We can also help you see how those themes help you accomplish all four of the big tasks, if you will, from the four domains. The prescriptive approach says that because you have the theme of, fill in the blank here, let's just use, I don't know, responsibility, well, then you always interact a certain way. You always take on a whole bunch of stuff. You always get everything done no matter what. You always attach psychologically to something and you always, always, always do it a very specific way. And maybe they use that to say that you should only be involved then in these types of situations. In fact, we believe that all of your strengths are working together to do, well, all kinds of things. And you're not limited just by what's on the paper in your report, which may sound a little bit confusing, but it brings me to the third and final point. Our third belief is that strengths don't work alone. Each of your strengths is constantly pairing with your other strengths to get work done, influence people, make decisions, and relate to people. For example, my top 5 strengths are maximizer, communication, ideation, futuristic, and adaptability. I often think that my futuristic is a theme that is the stickiest, which is a term I just came up with, meaning that something else is always pairing with it depending on the situation. So I love, 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 love to think about the future. In fact, sometimes so much so that it's hard to ground me into the present. In fact, right now, at the moment that I'm writing this, I'm sitting in a little tiny cabin in the middle of nowhere in Washington State. It's snowing outside, and I keep thinking about what it would be like to own a little property like this someday, maybe build a small little cabin like this at some point down the road, way in the future. My communication, then, is sticking with that futuristic right now and thinking about ways that I can sell this idea to my wife. How can I maybe convince her that this is something that we should do? And my maximizer is thinking about the best way to find an affordable property that's close enough to our house, our current house, to be convenient to get up there, but yet far enough away to feel like it's a break from the normal city life. And then my adaptability is thinking about all the various combinations of activities we would need to do to keep the kids happy, to keep the grown-ups happy. And in the background of all of this is this constant flow of dozens and dozens and dozens, and who knows how many more in this situation, different ideas to make all of this happen. Does that make sense? If not, I would love for you to reach out, because this is something that I've been thinking about a lot. And that's just one example, so I'd be curious to hear of yours. But my point is that you don't just use one theme or another to accomplish whatever your goals may be. If I'm trying to get this little dream cabin built, I'm not just using one of these strengths to make that happen. They're kind of all working together in different ways at different times. So again, and not to belabor the point, but balance isn't really a thing when it comes to using your strengths. It's about understanding how they're all working together in various scenarios to accomplish whatever it is you want to accomplish. To make this even a little bit more complicated, the talents that you resonate with the most in your top five themes, well, that can change. How you resonate with those talents shift. How your strengths pair with other strengths, it can shift and change depending on different life changes, depending on your level of understanding, even depending on what you're doing in any given moment. So back to the original question. Is there such a thing as strengths balance? Are there good strengths or bad strengths? Well, again, no. In fact, I wish we could change the conversation to instead focus on what's right about you. Pay attention to what comes naturally. Understand your personal narrative and where you come from and how you got to where you are today. And put all that together to leverage what you're instinctively and intrinsically good at. If you can do this, we believe you'll be more engaged, more productive, and more joyful. So a new question I would challenge you to consider is this. How do I engage my strengths to be the best version of me? Spend some time learning about each of your strengths even more than you perhaps already do, and pause when you notice yourself leaning into your natural talents. And then ask other people what they think that you're good at. Where do you shine? How do you make decisions best? How do you relate to others best? How do you influence, and how do you get work done? Pay attention to those moments where you feel most alive, where you're in what they call that flow state, and where it seems that you're just bringing life and a greater sense of well-being to yourself and to others. Whether your top five strengths are common or uncommon, whether you have all, let's say, thinking strengths or no thinking strengths, we believe that with a better, deeper understanding of your unique application of your top five themes of strength, you can get work done, you can influence people, you can make decisions, and you can relate to others in ways that are giving life to you and to others. We would love some feedback on this episode. I would love to hear from you to see how does this match your experience. If you've struggled with or wrestled with any of these big questions, please reach out. You can send us an email to connect@leadershipvisionconsulting.com. We would love to chat about this. And who knows, maybe we'll even interview you for a future podcast episode. So please, please email us. And thank you for listening to the Leadership Vision Podcast, sharing our expertise in the discovery, practice, and implementation of a strengths-based approach to people, teams, and culture. For more resources about developing your strengths, the strengths of your team, or the strengths of your entire organization, click the link in the show notes or visit us on the web at leadershipvisionconsulting.com. If you found value in this episode or any of our other episodes or other resources, would you please share it with a friend, someone you think might benefit from going deeper into our strengths-based approach to strong people, strong teams, and strong culture? I'm Nathan Freeberg, and on behalf of our entire team, thanks for listening.